Tremendous chorus, isn't it? Change my heart, O God. Make it ever new. May I be like you. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, yes, that is the desire of our hearts, truly. Father, we want to honour you, to be like you, to live our lives that give you honour and glory day in, day out. So, Father, I just pray now as we look into your word that you'll open our hearts, our minds. And Father, we give you the honour for what you want to say to us this morning. Amen. Some 39 years ago, I was on my way to Brisbane to a wedding. I was in my father's car. In the front seat was my dad, my girlfriend at the time, Heather May McMahon, over here. And I was driving. Behind me was our next door neighbour, Lorraine, and on the other side of the car was my dad was in the front. Okay, and you might remember on the old Bruce Highway, at Caloundra turn-off, we used to head towards Landsborough, down through Beerwar, and down through Glasshouse Mountains. Well, when we got to Glasshouse Mountains, you drive the town and the railway line are on your right-hand side. On the left-hand side that's still there is the golf course. Now, my dad fought in the Second World War, and I was obviously driving, and Dad, in his army voice, says, "Eyes left." And so I said, "Got you," like this. And of course, what my dad was trying to do is take the mickey out of my girlfriend, Heather. She said absolutely nothing. You know what was on the golf course? It was a beautiful young lady in hot pants playing golf. And of course, my dad saw her and he said, "Eyes left." You know, life is full of temptations, isn't it? And that's what we're looking at this morning, temptations of life. And, you know, sadly, when you think about it, and, you know, I don't have to tell you what's on the news, day in, day out, the accidents that are happening on the road. People are mucking around with phones, with technology, GPSs, you name it. They're not looking at the road. And hence, it only takes a split second, bang. And sadly, in a lot of cases, it's all over. And so temptations are there day in, day out, and we see them quite often. You know, life is full of temptations, and not only driving a car, mind you, even before the technology came in, I've done it myself. The road map's on the car, I'm trying to find my way through Sydney, and I'm looking at the road map with my finger in the spot. I remember on one occasion I missed the left-hand turn. Unfortunately, I can go around the block and come back and go down the right road. But it's so easy, isn't it, to take your eyes off the road. You know, when we think of life today, there are so many temptations that we face. We only have to look at the TV and it's full of temptations. Am I wrong? No, it's sure right, isn't it? There are temptations. Even the movie last night, Heather said, "Oh, look, let's look at this movie. Coarse language, nudity." Oh, something else that was in there as well. Barely watching it and I flicked it off. There it is. You know, we see it day in, day out. The magazines in our local shops, the newspapers even now are full of it. Temptations. And that's just, well, it's part of life. We're continually bombarded by these things. You know, there's a book, and I can't remember who wrote it, but it's entitled like this: Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. So true. Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. So let's turn to that passage in Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and how can we handle temptation. You know, and very shortly I'm going to share with you something that's very, very personal that I fight with quite regularly. The Satan just brings it across my mind, and if I'm not alert to it, my mind starts visualizing, thinking about what he's throwing at me. So let's see what Paul says to the Corinthians. And by the way, in the few verses before this, Paul reminds the people of the Christians in Corinth that what happened when the people went from Egypt to Canaan, through that, when they went through the Red Sea, down through the Sinai Peninsula, and how the people doubted God. They took their eyes off what God was doing, and he punished them quite severely on a number of occasions. On one occasion, 23,000 people died because they disobeyed what God was saying. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you think you are standing strong, be careful, for you too may fall into the same sin. But remember that the temptation that comes into your life are no different from what others have experienced. God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you cannot stand up against it. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you will not give in to it. You know, that's a tremendous, tremendous encouragement, a tremendous promise that no matter how much temptation you and I face, day in, day out, God is faithful and he'll give us a way out. So what does Satan do to us? Remember in the Garden of Eden, God said, you need of all the trees except that one tree. Don't touch it. And what does Satan do? He said to Eve, and she passed it on to Adam. Looks nice. Does God really say that you're going to die? And so they took the fruit of that tree, and mankind has suffered ever since. Satan might say to you, you have life, okay, but you're weak. You've always been a weakling. He reminds you of the sin that you have struggled with for years and years and years. And friends, I'm going to share with you something that I've struggled for years and years and years. You know, you read magazines right now it annoys me that magazines and even the Courier Mail, you see it so often on TV. And, well, I'll be quite blunt with you. You see young women who they have knickers and bras on. And I'll share with you, I struggle with X-ray vision. And friends, it's something that day in, day out, so often Satan will just come along and put a thought in my mind. Well, I don't even have to see the magazines or see it on TV or anything like that. It's just a thought in my mind. And if I'm not careful, you wander off. And so it's something that I struggle with. And you know, this passage here is just so precious because there is a way out. There is a way that we can deal with this. We can defeat Satan. Satan is a defeated foe. And friends, he knows that. But he still wants to take you with him. And so, the question is, how will you and how do I answer him? Do we attempt to reason with him? Do we attempt to produce our own arguments? Do we attempt to see what others say about the issue? Or do we go to the Word of God? And there's always been a comfort to me that I can resist Satan in Jesus' name and say, go away. And I'll be quite blunt at times when it's so strong, I say, go to hell in Jesus' name. Get out of here. I don't want anything to do with it. And if it's the fact that you see something beautiful, shut your eyes, turn your back, get away from it. So knowing 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 will allow us to ward off each attack of Satan. You know, God promises us the victory. He defeated Satan at Calvary through the Lord Jesus. He gave us the victory through him. It belongs to each one of us. Those of us who love the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, it belongs to us. That victory is ours. We can know victory in our lives day in, day out. We can believe him, and you will see how God does things that are absolutely impossible for us. It will thrill us to see the change of life, of a life's habit, broken by the mighty power of God. So, you know, let's look at the start of that verse. It says, when we are tempted, I've just lost it. Remember that the temptation that comes into your life are no different from any others. You know, I've shared with you one temptation, but there are so many, so many temptations in life, isn't there? You know, it's temptation is common to man. We're tempted on all sorts of things, but you know, it's a tremendous thing there. I don't know where the verse is, but it says that Jesus was tempted in all things. It's in the Hebrews. I know where it is. He was tempted in all things, and yet never once did he sin. You know, there's another temptation, and this is just, when I share this with you, I want to, how you deal with temptation is between you and God. But you know, a temptation that I received not long ago, you know, I love trains. Heather will tell you that. A couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to go on the tilt train from Gympie to Bundy. And it was great. Get on it. And I tell you what, it fair moves along when they get a straight line. You know, 150, 160 k an hour. She moves along. But you know, I love trains. In my younger days, a lot of you know that I had a hair limp and a cleft palate. I spent an awful long time, a lot of time, travelling to and from Brisbane on the old steam train. Max will tell you, 5 hours to get to Brisbane. Yeah, stop at every tin can and corner on the road. Just about. But anyway, you know, it breaks my heart to see the Merry Valley Rattler in a shed. It really does. I've been on that trip. It's a beautiful trip down the valley, right down to Imbolc. And, you know, just recently, this is a month or two ago, when I was just watching the TV and you know, you get those ads for Powerball and Lotto and all the rest of it, you know? Boy, it'd be nice to win $2 million and give it to the Merry Valley Rattler. You know, $2 million, and you can put that place back on the line. It'd be great, wouldn't it? You know, it's just simple things like that. Now, you know, whether you buy a ticket or not, that's between you and God. For me, I can't buy it. But these are the sort of things that happen. So what is the source of our temptation? In James tells us that we're all born of sin. It's part of our nature. We're born with it, and and that we want this, we want that. And so much of the advertising today is that, you know, we want this. You know, you can buy something today, pay for it in 4 years' time. No interest, no repayments and all that sort of thing. What they don't tell you is that, you know, instead of paying $1,000 for something in 4 years' time or 5 years' time, you'll pay four or five times as much for it. And so that's a great temptation that people struggle with nowadays. I want to read to you from 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. And here John points out three primary areas of temptation. 1 John chapter 2, 15 and 16. Stop loving this evil world and all that it offers you. For when you love the world, you show that you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only the lust of physical pleasure, the lust of everything we see, and the pride in our possessions. These are not from the Father, they are from the evil world. And this world is fading away along with everything it craves. And if you do the will of God, you will live forever. There are three lusts in that verse. The lust of physical pleasure. You know, John spoke about an issue a couple of weeks ago. And, it just blows my mind when you think about what's going on and the pressure that's being put on our politicians to legalise it. The lust of physical pleasure. We don't have to think too much about that. The lust of everything we see. You know, there's so many things that we're encouraged to buy. We're encouraged to go to watch. It's all wrong. And then the pride of possessions. You know, something that I've thought about and having thinking about this, you know, the pride of owning X amount of dollars. I'll share with you that 25 years ago, Heather and I, well, we didn't have too many dollars to rub together. But God has blessed us immensely. God has blessed us immensely. It's unbelievable how He did it. And you know, it's not my money, it's His money. And Heather and I want to live lives that bring honour and glory to Him. The pride of possessions. I often think, you know, of in the Old Testament of Job. Remember when Satan came to God and he said, look at your friend Job. I want to have a go at him. And God said, yeah, you can do everything, but you can't take his life. And so Satan took everything. His business, his farm, his family, the lot. Terrible. I often think to myself at times, I wonder what it would be like if our house burnt down, we lost everything. Just as an example. And yet, when you read the book of Job, and at the end, I'll put it in my words, Job says, I love you, Lord. Despite everything that's happened, I love you. I want to be your man. And God blessed him for that. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 it says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up against it. So who can give us the victory? It's God. God is faithful. That's in the middle of that verse. God is faithful. Do you really believe that? Do I really believe that? You know, I love that verse in Thessalonians. It says, faithful is He that calls you, for He will do it. Faithful is He that calls you. He will do it. And you know, we can trust God. I know Mike and Adriana are trusting the Lord for the goings on behind us here with the horses. And the more they trust Him, the more God guides them and blesses their ministry and blesses their work. We each one trust him for day and day, day by day. What does God do for you? He says this, I'll be faithful. You will not be tempted more than you can be. I'll give you a way of escape. Remember in the Old Testament, once a year, the high priest used to go into the Holy of Holies and he would make an offering for the sins of the people. It was very, very dangerous because if he had not been cleansed, etc., if he wasn't in a right relationship, he could not go in. But you know, the Lord Jesus, he is our high priest. He's right now in heaven, making intercession for each one of us. And you know, he paid the price for your sin and my sin. And he is our high priest, as I said before. In Hebrews, I just can't find it now, but in Hebrews, Paul says he was tempted in all things, but he knew no sin. He did not sin one word, one bit. He knows our weaknesses. He is our way of escape, and we will receive and know God's mercy and grace. We can have victory over temptation. I'm just going to read to you... This is the devotion book that Heather and I read every morning. And way back in August of 15, there was this Feeding Your Soul. A missionary went to China. After spending some time there, a Chinese man was converted to Christ through his ministry. They became very close friends. This Chinese gentleman grew in stature as a man of God. The missionary left and went back to his homeland. Maybe 5 or 10 years later, he went to visit the Chinese Christian man. He asked him how his Christian walk was going. The Chinese man said, "It is as if there are two dolls fighting in my heart. A black one and a white one. The one represents good, the other represents evil." And the missionary asked him, "Which one is winning?" And the Chinese man replied quite interestingly, "It depends on which one I feed." So true. My dear friend, which dog in your heart is getting more food at the moment? If you are spending time with the Word of God, you'll become a great man or woman of faith. If you're spending your time being busy with worldly things, then that's what you'll become of this world. If you're spending time with negative people, talking about negative things, you'll become a negative person. So true. You know, that hit me between the eyes, because I tell you, I can be so negative at times. Things are tough. And so, I leave you with this also came from this same devotion book, Isaiah 59 and verse 19. And it reads like this: "When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up the standard against him." Angus Buchan, who wrote this devotion book, he was talking to a friend who was struggling with cancer. And he was sharing with this Christian friend. And this guy said to Angus, he said, "Angus, I want you to read that verse again." And so he did. And he said, Angus said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up the standard against him. And this guy with cancer said to Angus, he said, listen, he said, move the comma and read it like this. When the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up the standard against him. Isn't that encouraging? When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lift up the standard against him. So let's read the Word. Let's learn the Word. Let's resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word this morning. We thank you that we have that power in the name of Jesus to resist the devil and he will flee from us. Father, I pray that each one of us will grow and use that power for your honor and glory. Amen.